Hello, you all. You are tuning in to the Audible Weed Walk number 55. This is Nina welcoming you. Last week, I did not podcast, hoping instead I will get to post a video of the weed walk. There were some technical glitches, which Ruben skillfully has removed. So it will be released soon on the YouTube channel. Watch out. I start today with a story, a real life story. In Oaxaca, New Mexico, or Mexico, lives a famous Zapotec artist and weaver, Porfirio Gutierrez. He works with natural dyes, dyes that he sources from nature. For him, color is a way to connect to his ancestors, their way of life, which has sustained civilizations and 500 plus years of colonial rule that were set to eliminate this knowledge. The knowledge that is available only by living in symbiosis with nature. So it is not just about the color you see. It is the connection, spirituality with self, with nature. It is like that with anyone or anything one finds a deep connection with. When that is fostered, it does not matter whether it is focusing on color, cordage, medicine, food, or building material. It is understood and taken and to be used with care without wasting. I was reading this in an article in BBC Online, I think. It struck a chord with me. You know, when I read, and I'm paraphrasing Gutierrez, that he does not want natural dye to regain its prominence in the textile industry that is very globalized nowadays, because that would lead to terrorizing nature for the ingredients. That's a very strong word, I must say, but it is appropriate in the context. Gutierrez wants us to see that it is possible to have this understanding with nature, that she will provide us, and in turn, that we take only what we need from her. I will highlight one more thing that we take for ourselves and our families. Well, for our community, when we live in a small but close-knit community groups, when collecting from nature for families and communities, there is also a function of collective gathering. Like in case of, say, edible wild food, it involves group foraging, you know, gathering together, not just one person or a few in the group collecting for the others to eat. Why is that? To reiterate, color, nature, medicine, or edible greens are only different means to connect with nature. What really matters is the bringing our consciousness here and now to our surroundings and to generate a sense of well-being in doing so. According to Gutierrez, through the colors, he actually found his spirituality and connection to his ancestral way of life, a way of life that involves living with appreciation and a sense of inquiry in symbiosis with nature. Well, that was a long story. I was reminded of it last week. Last week, I had received a note that a large community kitchen would like to use weed or wild uncultivated green as part of their regular food regime. The lowest amount of need that they had specified is 5 kg per day, which they could then incorporate with lentils or dal to serve. If one wants a separate preparation of greens, then the requirement will be much more. They have been a large enough area. This community kitchen have a large enough area that they could grow some of the greens on their own eventually. But for now, they would need to source them from elsewhere. Likely places are yards, gardens, fringes, garden fringes, along the path, etc. Since the collection will be from various places, it will also involve multiple people harvesting. Note, I am using the term harvesting and not foraging. Foraging is for self and family. One exception I would include in this category, those old ladies, primarily old ladies, who bring their tiny little amount of foraged items to sell outside conventional market you find in most tropical developing countries. Here too, you will definitely find them. Their fare is usually small, and they would they usually don't use any weights. They visually determine some portions, and they're usually selling the surplus of their own foraging. They barter amongst themselves, but to the market, they sell for some cash income, but very much at the subsistence level. Whenever the amount is beyond that, it ceases to be foraging in my opinion. Here, to distinguish it from foraging, I'm calling it harvesting. So for the community kitchen, it would not be enough if I and others go out and forage enough for myself and a few others. It will need much more. Moreover, it is not like 10, 20 or 50 of us going out in different places and foraging one time and cooking and sharing the food amongst ourselves. It involves collecting for others who are not at all aware of the source or even how the plant looks. Though some of them may be very knowledgeable about edible weeds and that they are rich in nutrition and macronutrients, still, they are not involved in foraging per se. The requirement, even if it is a relatively small amount, like 5 kg, is not one time, but regular. So the question arises, can we sustainably harvest or deplete the very greens that we appreciate? This is what Gutierrez, the artist from Oaxaca, mentioned as terrorizing nature for ingredients. But then Oaxaca, Mexico, where he is located, is forested, rich in biodiversity. Compare that with the weeds around us. Funny, I thought, but part of me responded, but wild is wild, isn't it? Whether I call it weed, and it also grows in an urban area or not. Overuse will deplete it. May take some more time for it to regenerate. May take actually less time for it to regenerate than native trees. Can be less devastating for the ecosystem. But when a few vanishes, we'll still miss them and it'll still have its impact. What about its effects on soil? It will get bare and depleted. Weeds largely hold the soil together. Not just that, it draws up the nutrients through its root for the other plants to utilize them also. Moreover, weedy, wild, uncultivated greens are absolute magnets for pollinators. Pollinators come for the weedy plants and ends up visiting other plants in the area, including what we cultivate and carefully nurture. The inquiry was a good trigger for a conversation with myself and others. I was happy that many of the responses that I received had also mentioned similar answers that I myself had arrived at. The greater community of conscious consumers, some of them ardent weeders also. I read about seaweeds. Technically, they are also wild weedy greens, and some are also edible. They may be different, but the issues also are the same. So seaweeds too has been traditionally used by the local people for several uses. But in the recent years, it has become quite popular in the market economy, and hence the amount harvested increased. It is difficult to control how much is too much because it is a common resource. It's growing wild. No one has a say. To avoid over-exploitation, first, we as individual, then as a community, must restrict ourselves. Over a large area, say a region, research scientists, conservationists, governments, and all stakeholders together need to proactively decide to set boundaries so that the wild ones can survive. Not just survive, grow, thrive. And what we take from them is only a little and does not affect the survival and its well-being. That is because our well-being and the well-being of the earth are integrally connected to that. There are some thumb rules or guidelines for sustainable foraging that I came across. A general rule is that to collect only 5%, say the weeds are present in a certain area. So only in 25% of the area, you're allowed to forage. Within that 25% of the area, that is that weed covers, they actually may be present in patches. So the thumb rule is to collect only 5% of each patch. So, of course, this number will change with the different kind of plants, how widespread it is, how common it is, etc. And or how, quickly it regenerates. But that means it needs all those who pick to have and hold the knowledge, sort of have a common code of conduct. And of course, as I was even telling all this, I was wondering that where to even have this knowledge and collectively, this geographical knowledge, like where exactly this weed occurs, what area total, and when you say 25% of that area, how do we determine that? So all these are actually pretty knowledge-based information, which we seldom have. So it's better to be cautious. Some species are more vulnerable to overharvest than others and requires more careful management. For example, Shatavari, which grows around here quite a lot, and it's asparagus, Indian asparagus. This plant, because we harvest the roots, so obviously, it involves digging up and the entire plant is taken out. So unless, and Shatavari is a very well used medicinal plant. So if you actually harvest a lot of Shatavari, basically we are taking out the plants. So there will be no scope of regeneration. Even abundant species like that should be harvested in moderation to ensure species persistence and limited food waste. This is especially possible when one is not, when one is not picking for oneself only, but for others, there's a great possibility of food, of foraging more, of harvesting more, because there's a guesswork involved, a tendency to take a little more than necessary to so that it is sufficient, and we end up actually taking a little more. So each time, a little more and little more, it compounds. With the exception of harvesting roots when the entire plant is pulled out, in fact, I insist that you shouldn't take the whole plant out. Not only that, I insist that you should only take the part you need directly from the plant. What I mean? It is like, for example, for Mantakali, Solanum nigrum or Solanum americanum, you do not need to pick the stalks. You can simply harvest the leaves if the leaves is what you are eating. Of course, you may also harvest the ripe fruit when it is ready. But in case of leaves, for example, even a handful can be enough for making wonderful nutritious soup. No need to pick an entire stalk of plant. Notice when we seek actually those recipes which requires much less amount of wild greens, when we actually pick it by ourselves, because we know how much time it takes and how much care it takes to pick them. So we actually seek out those recipes which doesn't require too much, and it is very nutritious, but at the same time it doesn't waste anything. It is not about eating. It is because it's because of the nutrients and the micronutrients they contain. It is about having a relationship, about care. So shouldn't a restaurant, eatery, or a community kitchen cook wild greens then? Sure, they should. They actually should, not only could, because it is a way of also informing others, actually initiating others. So, but the means should be pop-up restaurants, that is occasionally once in a while, to celebrate bounty, sometimes after the rains, to share and to inspire others uninitiated. Do you think the same way? Let me know. I'll see you again next week. Until then, stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.